Hello and welcome to Jumpstart Weekly, the manga podcast where every week we read every chapter of Shonen Jump on Viz's website, as well as another collected volume of manga. I'm your host, Jeremy.
And I'm your host, Kevin.
And this week we read Cypher, Volume 7. Mm-hmm. I was like, Kevin, what did we read? Literally, I was going to say read it less than an hour ago. Read it exactly 1 hour ago now. Before that, though, we have Shonen Jump. What did you think of Shonen Jump this week, Kevin?
I thought it was fairly good. Not amazing, but not horrible either.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. We have a lot to talk about with new series, starting with a brand new Star of Beethoven, number one, The Stars and the Clown. What did you think of Star of Beethoven, Kevin?
Again, I'm hesitantly optimistic. This is kind of an interesting premise, not the... Like, I was half expecting to be he was being visited by, like, the ghost of Beethoven, not Beethoven is literally just hanging out with this Japanese kid.
This weird reverse isekai that, like, I think this is going... I had pre-annoyance at this series, Kevin, and mm-hmm. I also am cautiously optimistic towards mm-hmm. it. But I feel like this is going to be a very popular genre in the next 5 years, and we are at the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems very, I'm going to do a twist on isekai. I'll do a reverse isekai with a historical figure, and he'll teach my Japanese Persian the arts of German piano from roughly 200 years ago.
Yep.
And also, like, I just kind of don't like any of the characters.
Yeah.
Especially the, like, love interest girl character is especially annoying, but the main character and Beethoven aren't great either.
Beethoven seems sort of interesting. I like that he's, like, kind of insane, but he's not fantastic.
Yeah, I do like him being like, ah, where are we? Japan in 200 years? Oh man, no wonder everything is weird. It's a good thing you randomly speak German, protagonist on.
Mm-hmm.
But like, despite me knocking it a bunch, I am also cautiously optimistic. It is weird and different. Even if I get the feeling like this is going to be super cliche soon, it is not yet.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
Next we have Embers Chapter 2, Encounters, which... I got very similar vibes to last week of, I feel like I've kind of seen all this before.
Yeah.
And the twist at the end is just the Haikyuu thing, but it's so obvious that this was where we were going.
It's the Haikyuu, it's the sports thing.
I mean, there are plenty of, I guess, I can't think of another manga besides Haikyuu. I'm sure there is one, where it's specifically, oh, my rival in middle school is now my buddy cop on the team and we have to get along.
Yeah. I guess I can't.
I mean, Slam Dunk, I guess, has a similar vibe, but it's not the same exact thing.
Yeah, that's Slam Dunk was the one I was thinking of, and you're right, it's not exactly the same.
And I think it's just that, like, saving it for a last panel twist is like, yeah, but this feels like it should be the first page, actually. Not the first page of the second chapter, the first page of the manga.
Well, and also, you know, hey, it's a twist, unless I, you know, read the cover page of issue one. Which had a full color spread and had all of them in the same color jerseys on a team. So.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that's done later, though. So I'm willing to, like, give some leeway for that sort of stuff.
Fair.
Like I say, I forget that it's a twist that Zoro uses three swords.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the last 20 years, everybody has known and made fun of that.
Yep.
So you forget that it's a joke in the first time it shows up.
Yep. That's fair.
But the rest of this chapter is just very cliche sports stuff, and it's very similar to chapter one as well.
Yeah. Not bad by any means, but yeah.
Next we have One Piece chapter 1139, Mountain Eater. What did you think of One Piece this week, Kevin?
I thought it was cool. I really liked, I already forgot his name, but I liked the, you know, another figure from the Roger Pirates showing up.
Since you forgot his name, I assume you did not have Scopper Gaban theories before this.
No.
I was not expecting Scopper Gaban to show up here.
Mm-hmm.
There is one Scopper Gaban theory I liked that this invalidates, but it was a crackpot theory that I did not think was true, which is that Morgan's is actually Scopper Gaban, and
oh.
That is why he was like so like subversive to the government, and also why he is always in his half form so that nobody will realize that he is secretly Scopper Gaban.
Gotcha.
Like, never for a second thought that was true, but that was my favorite random Scopper Gaban theory of
okay.
the many that were around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also like him. The last page is a little weird of him being like, and now you'll have to fight me, but that's pretty cliche Shonen stuff.
Yeah.
I think it was just weird to me because the translation on the early one was very different. It was a lot less like, now I will do a training fight with you. And a lot more vague about what his intention was.
Gotcha.
Which I think this is a case of the official translation being better. That does happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like all the Sanji stuff we're already setting up for Roger's third wheel.
Yep.
He seems a lot more analogous to Sanji than Rayleigh does to Zoro.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like I said, I thought it was cool. I really enjoyed it.
Next up, we have Sakamoto Days 200, Bubbles. I like the bit with the bubbles, but that's kind of all I have to say about this chapter.
Yeah, I still liked the fight. So, again, the bit with the bubbles was cool. Now that I've basically gotten over the fact that the entire premise of this flashback is stupid, and...
I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you did, there's a bit at the very start of this chapter that really bugged me, where the guy Sakamoto is fighting calls him Youngster, which mm-hmm. I get, but he looks the same age as Sakamoto in this flashback, because Sakamoto looks the same age he kind of always does when he's in his
yeah.
thin form, and that really bothered me. Go on.
That's fair. But I was just kind of enjoying the ride of this. I was like, all right, the fight's still pretty cool. The bubble bit was neat. I like the fact that he's like, a normal person can only hold their breath for a minute. And then he's sitting there and he's like, I've been hitting this guy in the stomach constantly and he's for 3 minutes and he's still just totally fine. What the hell is he?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was fine. Mm-hmm. I put it fairly high, but I think me putting it fairly high is why I thought Shonen Jump was just kind of okay this week.
That is very fair.
Next, we have Kagurabachi Chapter 67, Kyoto Bloodshed Hotel. I'm a little disappointed by the end of this chapter where she makes the decision she wants to go back to her normal life.
Yeah.
Not because I think that's a bad character decision or anything. It doesn't ruin the chapter, but it kind of limits what you can do with this character, and I think it's setting up her getting kidnapped or something bad happening to her.
Yeah.
Because the only other possibilities are she gets brought back to school, in which case what was the point of this whole arc?
Mm-hmm.
Or she changes her mind later, which is the better option, but I don't think that's what we're setting up with this chapter where she has to see all the John Wick violence.
Yep. You know, and the other parallel with the one guy, like, not knowing swordsmanship.
I like that idea, but I don't think it's presented well enough, especially when they meet at the end. And then the other guy's, like, partner being like, oh, we gotta watch out for that one disciple with the 50 swordsmen. Seems really lame and lampshady in a way that, like, I would expect from, like, Exorcist Kyoshi or one of the series we talk about being, like, sure is a shonen manga, mm-hmm. that usually Kagurabachi is much better written than.
Yep.
So, yeah, and I also rank this chapter very high because of the fight scene, so another reason why this week's Shonen Jump was just kind of okay.
Fair.
Next up, though, we have Blue Box number 183, Let's Play Basketball. What did you think of Blue Box this week, Kevin?
I really liked it. I really liked a lot of that emotional bit, and then that heart-to-heart between Yumika and Chinatsu.
I'll go with it if you go with it.
I
did not write down her name.
Very hesitant on that. But anyway, between the two of them, and then just being like, man, that sucked. We'll go play basketball tomorrow.
Yeah, I really like that. I love the end where she's like, hey, Taki, thanks for coming to practice every day,
mm-hmm.
after that flashback we got last week.
Yeah.
The only part I didn't love is that Chinatsu's three-pointer goes in and we see the score and it didn't matter. And that's kind of lame.
Yeah.
It's an after-the-fact thing, so I get what they're going for. But that's my only criticism of Blue Box this week. Next, we have Akanabanshi Story 145. Sit back and watch. I like this chapter more than I have recently. I kind of wish this was the first post-flashback chapter.
Fair.
Or maybe we had gotten one in Japan of everyone establishing she was gone.
Yeah.
And then we did this. I didn't think it was fantastic or anything. In part because I don't really remember who this villain is. Like, I vaguely recall him.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, it was more like, I think I remember you.
Exactly.
I guess. Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
Which takes us to Himiten, Chapter 29, Parent-Teacher Conferences. Everybody has a hot mom. It's mm-hmm. Hololive in here. Everybody has a hot mom.
Yes. Everybody has a hot mom.
We all want to flirt with the protagonist for some reason.
Yes.
I guess Hima's mom doesn't really want to flirt with him.
No.
She's more like, hey, good job being my daughter's dad. She doesn't have one because this is a series of hot girls. So
yes.
I'm glad you did it.
Yeah, I liked that. And then I think it's an interesting twist at the end where it's like, hey, you should come clean my mom's house too. And him being like, you know, this is going to get awkward.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It puts more parallel for this character who's been on the back burner for a little bit.
Yep.
With the other two. I like this chapter quite a bit.
Yeah.
Next, we have Elusive Samurai, Chapter 190, Intermission 1349, which is pretty good, but I don't mm-hmm. know that I have anything to say about it.
No, it's really just more of the, like, the best bits or the girls being like, yes, I shall capture him.
Which is minor because most of it is Japanese history stuff that I think yep. is also well done, but it's not as cartoonish as Elusive Samurai often is, and I think that kind of hurts it.
Yeah, it definitely reads more like, doesn't read like a textbook, doesn't sound right, but it's like, here's Japanese history. That's kind of interesting. Not really what I was here for, but...
No, I'm here for this weird kinky humor stuff, and the main character be like, nah, oh, thank you for coming to my strategy meeting.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk about how I'm going to make a harem.
Last but not least, we have Sid Kraft, Case 11. The great detective teams up on his long overdue homecoming. Thanks, Japanese titles.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of like the advancement this chapter does at the end, where Lulu is finally like, ah, he has no resistance to women. How do I seduce guy?
Yeah, I like that too. I have figured out one of his weaknesses. How the hell do I exploit that weakness? And then I like his parents being like, or his mom specifically being like, that boy is just as dense as you are, dear. What do you mean?
I also like it, like, yeah, we needed a maid. Maid for us right now today.
Yeah, that was good. You know, I like the, you know, oh yeah, if you stay in a room too long, the puzzle door locks. And I like the one sequence of him being like, I just need to take a shit while I open the goddamn bathroom door.
I also like that the puzzle is Twister.
Yeah.
You've solved my Twister puzzle. Anything else you wanted to say about Sid Kraft?
Nope.
All right, then. That will take us into Jump Card. Jump Card is the segment where we rank everything in Shonen Jump from our least favorite on up. 19 again this week. What do you have at number 19, Kevin?
19 is where I put Witch Watch.
Okay, you like disliked it that much.
It.
I know you do not like this subplot. But...
And that the problem is, because I do not like the subplot, I immediately lost it. And then I was like, and then they're talking about, like, she's now good at drawing fan service, but it's like too fan service-y for Jump or whatever the hell their name of Jump is. And so, like, part of the problem is, because I don't like it, I checked out on page one.
Yeah, I thought this one was pretty cute. Of like the manga character subplot of this series, I think this is the best chapter focused around her, personally.
That's fair.
I have me and Roboco at 19.
Okay.
I remember being like a specific, remember why you don't like this one, and I don't, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it was something specific.
It was my number 18. I agree with you. It wasn't good.
That's where I put Oath Limit Exorcist Kiyoshi, which I am now just in the ready for this to be done category of.
Yeah.
What do you have at 17?
That's where I have Shinobi Undercover. I don't know, I'm not liking it.
It's my favorite of the stuff I don't like now, I think, which I dislike because it's so generic, but I am here in Shonen Jump for shipping, and it at least has that.
Okay.
So I have Astro Royale at 17.
Okay.
Again, remember that super awkward cliffhanger I left you on? Let's not do anything with that and go over here to this boring fight. Okay.
Yep.
That ends weirdly.
Yep.
What do you have at 16?
That's where I have New Ace. You know, oh, this guy's half Shikigami or something.
New Ace loves to throw a thing at a wall. New Ace is so inspired by Bleach. Parenthesis, not good.
Yep.
I have Kill Blue at 16, actually.
Okay.
I just found it really clumsily done, like the entire thing. Like him de-transforming so quickly plays into the stuff we talked about, this being like awkward and rushed.
Yeah.
And while I think the ending is strong, it takes so long to get there that it feels like...
That is very fair.
It should have been more immediate and sudden, and then it would have been shocking, instead of just feeling like an excuse to like add drama and prolong the plot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 15?
That's where I have Ultimate Exorcist. It's whatever.
It's where I put New Ace.
Gotcha. So.
I kind of like the random new character who shows up at the end. He's like, can I join your hero? I mean, can I help you destroy this base that I don't like?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 14?
That's where I have Astro Royale. You're right. You know, remember this sort of interesting cliffhanger? Yeah? Forget it. Okay.
It's where I have Shinobi Undercover. Okay. So what do you have at 13?
13 is where I put Super Psychic Policeman Shoujo.
Me as well. I like the trope of bringing back the previous comedy protagonist. I like the jokes about, this was a decade ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know this guy, which makes it harder to get invested. I think for the 1 year anniversary of Super Psychic Policeman Shoujo, perfectly good chapter to pick.
Yeah.
But especially coming right after the other crossover feels a bit, I think it's just a poor timing thing.
Yeah. I also liked the fact that they literally mentioned that in the chapter of like, you know, oh yeah, it's the Arthur's previous work. Well, I mean, after the last collab, it seems kind of lackluster.
What do you have at number 12?
That's where I put Kill Blue. I guess I just liked the ending a bit. And the transformation thing kind of reminded me of, I think it's the Super Saiyan 3 or 4 or whatever, where they're like, they do it for the first time and it lasts less time than they were expecting. It made me think like, he was like, I tested this out. Why didn't it last as long? Oh, well, because when I was testing it, I just saw how long it would last, not while I'm actively doing stuff and didn't realize that was burning the timer down.
That's where I have Witch Watch, so.
Sure.
What do you have at 11?
That's where I have Kagurabachi.
Okay, that low with it, because I still put it pretty high.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't like the fight scene as much either, and I guess the...
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff to dislike in this chapter. I don't blame you. I'm just kind of surprised.
Yeah, that's just where it ended up.
I have Embers at 11.
Fair.
I didn't dislike Embers. It ended up pretty low on here. It's just, like I said, it's all cliche. It's all stuff I've seen before.
It's my number 10.
Oh, that's where I have Star of Beethoven. So
that's my number 9. So.
And that's where I put Sakamoto Days.
Gotcha.
We've discussed it. I thought the bubbles were cool. That's about it.
Fair.
What do you have at 8?
8 is where I put Ichi the Witch.
I also have that higher just because I'm interested in the like character development stuff. I guess it in hindsight, it does feel like we're spending a lot of time between arcs, but it feels like that's time we're investing in what the characters are and what the story's going to be going forward.
It wasn't bad. I think I enjoyed other stuff more.
I have Elusive Samurai at 8.
Okay.
What do you have at number 7?
That's where I have Akana Banashi. I think I'm going to be more interested in next chapter, but it is definitely like, okay, this is pretty cool, but, you know, not really remembering the villain. And, like, next chapter should be really interesting where she's like, you know, just wait. Wait until I get on stage. Like, you can do all this kind of stupid shit beforehand. Just wait until I get on stage.
That's where I have Sidcraft.
Okay.
It's cute. I like the advancement at the end, but it doesn't do much for the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 6?
That's where I have Sidcraft.
It's where I have Akata Banashi.
Gotcha.
So. What do you have at number 5?
5 is where I have the Elusive Samurai. The history stuff is kind of interesting, but just kind of like, all right, that was cool. And, you know, it's like more of the girl stuff was also cute, but like it's the last few chapters have been ending on that. So it kind of hasn't continued. Like the story is progressing, but it's always it's ended on like, and the girls were horny for him, which isn't bad, but like it's losing a bit of steam when it's like, okay, this is the third week in a row that's been the joke.
Yeah, I get it. 5's where I have Himiten.
Gotcha.
I like the chapter, but especially the ending, but the hot mom's all flirting with him seems very pandery.
Fair.
What do you have at number 4?
That's where I have Sakamoto Days. I just like the fight a lot more, and that was cool.
It's where I have Ichi the Witch. Okay. I can kind of see you putting it lower. Like, the, oh, you look like my brother is kind of cliche, and seems like it should have come up before.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I do like the ending, and I am excited to kind of see that go forward.
Yeah.
What do you have at 3?
3 is where I put Himiten. I'm really interested in how the drama is going to unfold between, I forget, one girl's name's mom who broke her wrist who needs house cleaning. And is like, hey, you can clean her house, right? And I'm just like...
Well, I think it's their house. I assume they live together, unlike every other character. I guess he lives with his mom.
Yes.
His mom is just too busy being a hairdresser to come home.
Well, also, I think he works a lot, because I don't think he just works for Hima.
He's got, I think, 2 other clients, he said. It might be 1 other. It might be 2 total. But yeah, you're right.
So I think that's just, it's just, because he works a lot, he ends up not spending as much time at home, or like their schedules don't overlap, which is weird when you think about it, because you'd think a hairdresser would have like a 9-to-5.
Yeah, I think it's more where the hairdresser is not what I think of when I think of intense jobs. It's not even like retail, right? Maybe it's different in Japan, but
I could see it, especially if she's like, because it sounds like she works at a fairly high-end boutique, as opposed, like, she doesn't, it's not like she works at Cost Cutters.
I feel like those have more limited hours, though. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think those have more limited hours. I think it's, you also like having to deal with certain clientele.
That's true.
So, like.
I can ask my sister-in-law, that's what she's doing right now.
But yeah, anyway.
Kagurabachi is my number 3.
Gotcha.
After talking about it, not really sure how it ended up so high, but I did really like the fight scene stuff. And I do the parallel with the villain. It just seems done way too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at number 2?
Blue Box.
Okay. That's where I have One Piece.
Gotcha.
So I think the Skopker Gaban thing, it wasn't disappointing, but that's like a thing on the back burner that's like, when is he going to show up? Is he going to show up?
Yeah, and since I'm not into the fan theories or as much into the lore as you are, it was like, oh, that's cool.
I think it's also hurt by not having a One Piece next week and it having been slow for a bit.
Fair.
And this is, I think, supposed to be the big exciting reveal. And I was like, oh, okay. And not like, oh, man, Skopper Gabon. He's going to hit someone with an axe.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing. Anything you want to say about Blue Box before we talk about how we have the opposites at number one?
Yep.
I have Blue Box at number one.
Yeah, and I have One Piece at number one, so.
I just thought the emotion in Blue Box is really strong. So One Piece was very good.
Yeah.
If Blue Box was not such a good chapter, it easily could have been number one. I was not at all disappointed. Like I said, my pet Skopper Gaban theory was not right. I can't say it as a joke anymore because now it's provably wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say about One Piece or Blue Box, Kevin?
Nope.
All right. We read Cypher Volume 7, and we'll be back to talk about that after the break. All right, we read Volume 7 of Cypher, the thing we read every year in February.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Volume 7, Kevin?
I think it's a very breezy read that I kind of fell back into very quickly.
Yeah, it was nice, because like the first three pages, I was like, oh man, should I read a recap of what's going on? And then
I quickly
remembered.
Well, there's also the one at the start of the volume.
Yeah, that's the one that I was thinking, like, should I read this?
I read it. It's a very short recap, but even then I like fell back immediately into the story and just kind of like breezed through it. And
I didn't, and it took like three pages before I was on a similar point. So I want to extend that compliment even further.
Yep. And also for me, because of the fact that that's literally at the beginning of the volume, makes it totally fine for...
Yeah, I was just on a timer. Like I said, I read this 1 hour and 23 minutes ago.
Yep.
So, and I was like, I should have time for this, but then you got off work early. Right? Literally, I was like, okay, time for a shower. After I read this, I took my shirt off, and then Discord pinged, and it was like, hey, can I come over? Timing.
The other nice thing with new job is that should not happen, because I should not get off early.
That swings and roundabouts, but anyway. Yeah, I agree with you. It was a breezy read. It was real easy to get back into. The way this volume is bifurcated is really interesting.
Yeah.
In that the first half is all about
Roy.
Roy, and the second half is all about
Jake.
Yeah. I see. I can only think of the wrong one.
Yeah. Or like, Siva and Cypher, if you want to. But yeah, Roy and Jake.
And I find that sort of frustrating just because the Roy story was more interesting to me. But also, thinking about this coming out in chapters, it kind of is lucky that we got so much of each in a volume at all. It could have very easily been all one, and then it'd be like, oh, what's going on with the other? And I do think both stories are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very soap opera-y, because that's what this series is.
Yes.
But they both drew me new, and I like the new characters introduced in each of them.
Yeah.
I don't know that much, like, a lot happens in this volume, but I don't know that much significant happens, because we're setting up new status quos.
Yeah. We're setting up new status quos, setting up new characters, and kind of just establishing how Roy and Jake are dealing with being apart.
Yeah, and I do find that really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just not nearly as dramatic as last volume where somebody must die.
Yes.
In this one, somebody must be born. And that's kind of like, well, this is very dramatic and soap opera-y, but I don't know that it actually does much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is there anything else specific you want to say about it? Because I really enjoyed it, and I agree it's a breezy read. It really, after not having read any of this for a year, it sucked me back in, reminded me of stuff I definitely, with a gun to my head yesterday, could not have told you happened in Volume 6 of Cypher.
Yep.
I suddenly had almost total recall of, which is really nice for something we read so infrequently.
And
at the beginning, I was ready to, like, pan this. The first couple of pages, I was like, I think maybe Cypher's kind of lost its plot. It's not really about the premise anymore. And I very quickly 180'd on that.
Yep.
So it won me over. And so I have kind of nothing but good things to say about it, but I don't know that I want to go blow by blow looking through my notes. I took quite a few of them. And even then.
Yeah, no, that's fair. If you wanted to, we could talk about the new characters.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, even then, like, Roy's roommate is interesting. He's a good foil, but I don't have a lot to say about him.
Yeah.
And the model that Jake is working with, like, they maybe go through Jake's depression arc a little too quickly of him just going out to clubs all the time and being desperate for attention. That very quickly gets solved by a guy being like, hey, do you want to be a model? Do you want this to be your arc instead? And I do like the character that sort of comes out of that, of his coworker who's a big fan and is kind of awkward and for some reason knew Dana.
Yes. I think it was just because, like, not just Dana, but her family was, like, a big thing in the neighborhood, and he just happened to live in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, that just, that twist is kind of very soap opera-y and out of nowhere, and seems like something he maybe should have mentioned. But I don't have a huge criticism of it. I think that's all interesting. But like we say, we spend basically this whole volume establishing these two characters, and there hasn't been a lot of conflict with them. They're mostly mirrors for Jake and Roy to, like, show who they are without each other.
Yep.
Anise completely fades into the background in this
volume,
which is maybe the biggest criticism of it.
Yeah, that is the one problem. I think, I'm hoping the next, she'll make a bit more of an appearance.
That's why I'm not too critical of it. Yeah. Because we only read this one volume a year, and it's only a couple chapters in that big shoujo manga style.
Yep.
And I don't mind Goku being gone for a couple chapters.
Yeah, and she's still, like, she's still there. Like, they even mention, I think it's either at the very beginning or in the synopsis, that, like, Anise is dealing with having to try and take care of Jake. So, like, that's why she goes to the club and she's trying to find stuff out about him.
She just seems really passive in this in a way that I don't think necessarily suits her. And I'm not sure how she can insert herself actively in the story as it's progressing right now.
Yeah. I think some of it is she doesn't know how to insert herself in. I think that's what they were trying to go for. But it, because of the structure of it, comes off as just she's fading into the background rather than it's like, because we don't get her internalizing, what the hell do I do? Like, he's, you know, Roy told me, hey, take care of Jake, but, like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
And the action she takes of following to the club only helps the problem by coincidence. That guy, that model guy, still would have been there if she had not been. And maybe he wouldn't have taken it, but that's not really the indication the story gives.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say about Cypher Volume 7, Kevin?
Nope.
All right. Another short one. That's probably going to be the trend for a little bit because we're having some stuff in our personal lives and the next episodes might be late. Hopefully not.
Even these last two have been late because of shit happening in my personal life. But
yeah, so that might continue for a little bit while we settle in. But next week, we are going to read Volume 3 of Assassination Classroom because Kevin said that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do. Until then, our opening theme is Fighting Against One's Will by Midair Machine. Our closing theme is A Psychic Fistfight by Tom W. Emmerich. Other music on the show is by Spectacular Sound Productions, and our album art is by Kate Wind on DeviantArt. www.lastpodcast.com is our website, where you can check out my other podcasts, It's a Gundam and Last Time on Video Games. It's a Gundam is about to start our coverage of Mobile Suit Gundam Stardust Memory, which might be the most Gundam that ever Gundamed. Mm-hmm. We're also having some upload issues on that, but it'll be soon. We're recording it. I'm excited about it. Anything you want to plug, Kevin?
Nope.
Have a great week, everyone. Gotta stop, don't you know, subliminal.